Well, I missed you. It's good to see your faces again. I also bring you greetings from the saints of the Reformed Presbyterian Church of Lafayette, where I was able to minister last Lord's Day after our synod meetings. They are doing well by God's grace. Open, please, in your Bibles to the letter to the Hebrews. We'll be looking at Hebrews chapter 1. This will be kind of the foundation for our time this morning as we consider Christ our prophet. Hebrews chapter 1, I'll read verses 1 through 4. Hear now the reading of God's holy and inspired word. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom he also created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for this Jesus Christ, this one whom you have sent into the world to be our prophet, to be our priest, and to be our king. And Lord God, we pray that as we come to your word today, that you would lead us into the truth by the work of your Holy Spirit, and that you would remind us and lead us to Jesus, our great prophet, who gives us your word that we might know you, that we might be changed by you, that we might rest in you as the full provider of our salvation, everything we need for life and godliness and joy for all eternity. Thank you for your word, and we pray that you would use this jar of clay for your glory's sake. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Well, there are many ways that we try to describe the person and work of Jesus Christ. We call him Savior, Redeemer, Messiah, Christ, the Great Shepherd of the Sheep, the Prince of Peace, the Lamb of God. Maybe there are other titles that come to your mind as you think about who Jesus is and what Jesus does. But there are three titles in particular that really help to sum up the whole work of Jesus Christ. Back in the 1600s, a bunch of pastors got together and they talked about these things and they came up with a means of teaching what God's word is, the basic truths of Scripture, in a question and answer form. And they developed what's known as the Westminster Shorter Catechism. And these pastors got together and they asked this question in the catechism, number 23, what offices doth Christ execute as our Redeemer? And the answer they give us is, Christ as our Redeemer executeth the offices of a prophet, of a priest, and of a king, both in his estate of humiliation and exaltation. Well, I thought that during the month of July, I would take a look at each one of these offices of Christ and do so in a way that helps us kind of understand the foundation of those offices in Scripture, but also how Christ fulfills and executes each one of those offices. And so this morning, we'll be looking at the first one that was mentioned, Christ's office as a prophet. And I'll be using the Shorter Catechism as somewhat of a foundation or a guiding outline for the things that we'll talk about over these next coming weeks. And so our topic today comes from the Westminster Shorter Catechism, question and answer number 24. These pastors ask us, how doth Christ execute the office of a prophet? And the answer they give us is this, that Christ executeth the office of a prophet in revealing to us, by his word and spirit, the will of God for our salvation. And really, the point that I hope you get from this question and answer this morning is this, that you can be assured of your salvation by hearing the voice of Christ in the word. Be assured of your salvation by hearing the voice of Christ in the Word. Now, the first thing that we need to understand as we approach this topic is that of Christ as prophet is that in the Old Testament, God spoke to his people through prophets. God spoke to his people through prophets. This is one of the first things that the Catechism assumes here. It's that there is such a position as a prophet, and it's right in doing so. Christ executeth the office of a prophet. But where does this idea come from? Where do we see the office or position of prophet displayed in Scripture? Well, if you would, please turn to Deuteronomy chapter 5. You can either turn there in your Bibles or just listen to it as I read it to you. But Deuteronomy chapter 5 lays out for us kind of this foundational idea of what a prophet is and does. I'm going to read Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Listen to what Moses said. And Moses summoned all Israel and said to them, "Hear, O Israel, the statutes and the rules that I speak in your hearing today, and you shall learn them and be careful to do them. The Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb. Not with our fathers did the Lord make this covenant, but with us, who are all of us here alive today. The Lord spoke with you face to face at the mountain out of the midst of the fire, while I stood between the Lord and you at that time to declare to you the word of the Lord. For you were afraid because of the fire, and you did not go up into the mountain." And so in verses 1 through 5 here, we see Moses reminding the people of Israel what happened when they first heard the Ten Commandments, when they received them at Mount Sinai and Horeb. And Moses points out here in this text that he stood between them and God as the one who declared God's word to God's people. And as chapter 5 goes on, the people, we learn, were so terrified by the voice of God that they actually begged Moses to act as somewhat of a go-between from God to them. And when most people think of a prophet, they don't necessarily think of a go-between. They just think of someone who can tell the future. But this go-between idea is exactly what a prophet is and does. Yes, prophets from time to time tell the future. We call that foretelling, and that was somewhat of the work of a prophet. But the main role and primary purpose of a prophet of God was to forthtell, to declare God's word to God's people. This was their main role. And so think of it this way. During medieval times, if a king wanted to tell the people in his kingdom what his ruling was or his idea about something, wanted to declare his will to the people, he would select a servant of the court or someone who would act as a messenger or town crier to go into the middle of town where everyone could hear him. And that town crier would stand there and declare the message of the king. He communicates the king's message. And in a sense, this messenger of the king was like a prophet, because he communicates the king's will to the king's people. This is what prophets do. They communicate God's will to his people. And in a similar way, this is the role of a preacher or pastor, anyone who preaches God's word. He's an individual chosen by God to communicate God's will to God's people. Now, that's not to say that pastors or preachers receive new words from God. No, they don't. But they do take what God's word says, and they communicate that truth to the people in the pews. And in that way, they're taking God's will and giving it to the people in the pews. And Moses, as one of the first prophets, communicated God's truth to God's people. And so did the many prophets down through Israel's history, until a very important and very significant prophet arrived on the scene. You see, Christ has come to speak as the ultimate final prophet. If you would, turn back to Hebrews chapter 1. I'll read again those first two verses. "Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son." Well, as the Catechism points out here, it is now Christ who exercises and executes the office of a prophet. And we see that in what we just read here. In these last days, God has spoken to us by His Son. And this was God's plan all along. Even back in Deuteronomy, God had foretold of one who would come to be this ultimate prophet. Deuteronomy 18, 18, God says to Moses, I will raise up for them a prophet like you, Moses, from their brethren. And I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And so Jesus is the fulfillment of that word spoken to Moses. Jesus has come as the final authoritative word from God, the ultimate prophet, God's last prophet. And this time God did not have to speak through others to declare his will, but it was God himself who declared his will, who spoke to the people, revealing in fullness the glory and majesty of God. And it's not that the former prophets were less important, but the full revelation of God's will has now come in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so instead of that king sending a servant of the court to be a messenger to speak to his people, the king sends his own son. A much fuller and clearer explanation of the king's will can be given to the people if it comes from the prince, right? Ideally, the prince knows the king far better than any servant of the court. And this is what happened when Jesus Christ came. John tells us in chapter 1 of his gospel, verse 18, that no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him. And we can be assured that Jesus' explanation is in a perfect accord with the Father's will. And Jesus himself tells us that he only ever spoke what the Father told him to speak, John 12, 50. And this is because he is God himself. For I am and the Father are one, John 10, 30. And so since God himself has come and declared the full and final message regarding his will, we really don't need to look anywhere else or expect additional revelation from him. He has brought the full and final complete revelation of the will of God for us. And so continued prophecy or additional words from God claimed by some are really erroneous and false. What can be said that is greater than the very words of God spoken by God himself already? All that is needed for life and for godliness is given by the words of Christ. And maybe you're thinking, well, what about the apostles then? Because didn't they come after Jesus? Didn't they speak after Jesus? Don't we take their words as the authoritative words of God? They were after Jesus. Are their words somehow less inspired, less important than those of Christ himself? Well, I want you to listen to what Jesus himself tells those particular apostles in John 14, 26. He tells them this. He says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. And so that which the apostles declare in their letters to the churches are those things which the Spirit of Christ himself is reminding them that Jesus had given them to give to the churches. It's Christ himself who leads these apostles. He is still the ultimate prophet. The apostolic writings and those approved by them are the words of Christ spoken by the Spirit. And this is why the church in the New Testament age recognized these scriptures, only the scriptures with apostolic authority. They wouldn't take anything else. They had to have apostolic authority. Therefore, any supposed revelation of God outside of the scriptures is void and invalid. Christ speaks as a prophet in only one place, and that's his word. But to whom is Christ speaking as this final prophet? Well, look at that Hebrews text again. Long ago, at many times, in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. When the writer to the Hebrews says, God has spoken to us, the us he is referring to here is the church. And that's what this catechism again picks up on. Christ executeth the office of a prophet in revealing to us, it says. It's God's desire to communicate his will to all of his children and not to just certain special individuals who can then properly interpret God's word to them. It's to all of his people that Christ speaks as a prophet. And he does this, he ordained this in this way, and he did this so that his words could be written down for all to be read and received. This is what the Catechism means when it says, in revealing to us by his word. He set apart the prophets of old, the apostles as well, to write down his words. These were men who were directly inspired by God himself. And all these words that they wrote are the words of God. Paul says all scripture is given by inspiration of God. The Bible is a direct word from God himself given to you to show you how to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. And these words of Christ speak to people in all ages, not just the first century. So I want you to think about how you might communicate words directly to your great-great-great-great-grandson. If you wanted to tell him something very specific, how would you go about doing that? Would you tell your son to have him tell his son, then his son, so forth, so on, after that? Or would you actually write it down in order to communicate your words directly to your great-great-great-great-great-grandson? You could write it down, because if you wrote it down, those would be words directly from you to him. And in a way, this is what God's word is. This is what the Bible is, the words written from God directly to you. It is Christ as God who speaks in the Bible directly to you. When the words of Scripture were inspired, God in his infinite counsel had you in mind, your circumstances, your situations. You are not removed from the words of God in the Scriptures. You don't need anyone else to know what God desires for you or what his will is for you. Now, some people claim they need the Pope in Rome to tell them what God wants them to do and how to live their lives. Others say they need the Book of Mormon or the Watchtower Society or other religious books like the Quran or fortune tellers to tell them what God's will is. Friends, you don't need them. You have the very words of Jesus Christ spoken to you in the Bible. Praise God that he's given you such a wonderful blessing. And sadly, however, many people in this world don't recognize what a blessing the Word of God really is. And they don't understand or believe God's words in Scripture. Why is this the case? Well, again, the Catechism helps us understand this also. Listen to this question again. Christ executed the office of a prophet in revealing to us by his word and spirit. Word and spirit. You see, Christ speaks by his spirit as well as his word. And the Catechism is pointing out an important teaching of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Turn there with me, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. In verses 13 and 14, Paul gives us the reason why many people do not understand or believe the Scriptures. And this is what the Catechism's getting at by speaking by the Spirit as well. 1 Corinthians 2, 13 through 14 says this, "And we impart this in words, not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned." And so what Paul is saying here is that a person must be given understanding by the Holy Spirit because the words of the Bible are written by the Spirit. So it's almost like he's saying that the natural man, the unbeliever, speaks English, and the words of the Bible are written in German. The unbeliever may be able to recognize some of the letters and maybe sound out some of the words, and perhaps some of them may even seem a little bit familiar to him, but he just can't grasp the full understanding of what is being communicated. He can't make sense of the text. He has to know German before he can understand. In a similar way, a person must know and be taught by the Spirit of God before he can understand spiritual things. But for you who believe, Christ speaks to you by his word and spirit. Look at what Paul says in verse 12 of this chapter. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given to us by God. And this is for us who have been born again, who have trusted in Jesus Christ. Because you are born again, you understand the words of Christ spoken to you in his word. As you read the Bible, the Spirit helps you understand what it says. This is what we call illumination. The Spirit illumines or sheds light on the Word of God so that you can understand what it teaches concerning God's will. And so what is God's will then for you? What is he trying to communicate to you in his Word? What is Christ through the Spirit trying to tell us? Well, listen to that catechism question one more time. Christ executeth the office of a prophet in revealing to us by his word and spirit the will of God for our salvation. The will of God for our salvation. Christ speaks concerning God's will for your salvation. Listen to what John tells us at the end of his gospel, chapter 20, verse 31. He says, "These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." The purpose for which Christ speaks in his word in the Bible is to show you the path of salvation. Because it's God's desire to bring you into a relationship with himself. To bring you into a relationship with himself. And how did he do this? Well, sometime in your past you heard the call of the gospel, which came from God's word, either read or preached or spoken to you by your parents or someone else. At some point, you heard the word of God, you believed it, and you were saved. God saved you through his word. You saw his will for you, for salvation. But God's will for you is not simply a one-time salvation event. But God's plan for you is actually a salvation process, a process that is carried out through your entire life. At the moment you believed, you were saved. You were justified. Your sins were forgiven. You were declared righteous in God's sight. You were saved. Saved from the penalty of sin. Saved from hell. Saved to God himself. But from that point forward, you were still being saved. The process of sanctification, becoming more and more like the person God has declared you to be, more and more righteous, more and more holy, more and more like Jesus. This is part of the salvation process. And so you are saved, but you're always in the process of being saved, that is, becoming more like you should be. And this is the will of God for you, your sanctification, that you get saved, and then become more and more like the one who saved you. Listen to Paul in 2 Timothy 3, verses 15 through 17. Paul tells Timothy that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And so the Scriptures make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. You get saved. They tell you about who Jesus is and you're saved, you're justified. But they also work to make you complete, to sanctify you, that the man of God may be complete. This is what the Scriptures do. And so what are we to learn this morning? What's the catechism teaching us through this question and answer? Well, it's teaching that you can grow in and be assured of your salvation by hearing the voice of Christ in the Word. Christ, as the ultimate prophet, is speaking to you in the Bible. He teaches you about the gospel, that God sent his Son, Jesus, into this world to earn salvation for sinners. And he did that through his life, death, and resurrection from the dead. And if you repent from your sins and trust in this Jesus as your only hope of salvation, you will be saved from God's wrath and given eternal life. It's the voice of Christ in the Word who calls you to salvation. And friends, it's also the voice of Christ in the Scriptures after you are saved that leads you and guides you into greater conformity to Jesus himself. This is why we acknowledge that the reading, but especially the preaching of the Word, is so important. It's God's means of grace for building you up in holiness and comfort through faith unto salvation. So know that every time you open the Word or hear it preached, it's the very words of God, the words of Christ, speaking to you, telling you how to live, declaring who you are and whose you are. You are a child of God. You're saved through the work of Christ. You will grow up to your full salvation in Jesus by listening to his voice in the preaching and written word. And as you read the word and listen to it preached, hear the voice of your shepherd calling you as his sheep. Hear the voice of your shepherd in the word who says, he who believes in the Son has eternal life. Hear the voice of the shepherd in the word who says, I will never leave you or forsake you. Hear the voice of Christ in the word who says, no one will snatch you out of my hand. Hear the voice of Christ in the word who says, nothing can separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. And hear the voice of Jesus in the word who says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, and he will surely do it. Find rest and assurance in the word that you are who Christ says you are, that you are saved like Christ says you are, because it is Christ himself who speaks to you as your prophet in the word. So how then does Christ execute the office of a prophet? And Christ executeth the office of a prophet in revealing to you by his word and spirit the will of God for your salvation. Friends, be assured of your salvation by listening to the voice of your Savior, Jesus the prophet, in his word. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for such a precious gift, your word, the very words of your Son given to us that we might believe, that we might be saved, and that we might be brought into conformity with who he is. Thank you for such a great gift. And Lord, we pray that we would cling to it, that we would run to it, that we would build our lives upon it and not be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine and deceit. But Lord, that we would hold fast to the solid foundation, the rock of your word that comes from Christ our prophet. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.